listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
Welcome to episode 187 of the Nerds Assemble podcast. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
I'm Paul, aka Cookie.
And I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
I was going to say that there are other people on this podcast apart from me and Emily.
They disappeared during the countdown before we started recording.
And then suddenly there was no excuse hiding for that. I'm the one with the drink.
We don't really have a plan for this episode. We've been discussing what to talk about, and there's been bits and dabs of news here and there since we last recorded. Some absolutely horrible, and some okay, and some... obviously, we're all pretty still quite shocked that with the passing of Carrie Fisher and her mum. That was pretty terrible. Even George Michael passing... That was terrible. Not that I was a huge fan of his music, but like a couple of
things. He's one who I can say I wasn't a huge fan of his stuff, but I appreciate and his influence.
Yeah,
I think as Retroid mentioned, you know, that there are people out there that were like, thank God we're past 2016 now, and yeah, things can still get worse.
Yeah,
you know. There has to be, it doesn't kind of go back to neutral. It kind of has to work back up to being good.
Unfortunately, there's still a huge generation of baby boomers around. So that...
Whoa, what?
I'm just saying, basically, that they are one of the...
Are you saying that all of them are going to die this year?
They're the oldest... oldest, largest age group around at the moment. And unfortunately, the marauder health problems that modern living has managed to bring upon their lives... There's a weird population thing going on at the moment in terms of death rates for certain age groups. Hence all the celebrity deaths that we had.
Okay.
A load of the people that unfortunately passed are of that generation.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's frustrating.
Always look and in the meantime, on the bright
side of life.
Information and well, you know, there was this lovely reassuring article over on Wired today about, you know, how it would only take 100 days for a zombie outbreak to decimate the human population.
I'm surprised it would take that long.
I saw that as good news.
They said that basically after 100 days there might be like 200 of people left on the earth, but I don't know, because the article didn't really link to any of their actual kind of like theories and stuff and how they kind of worked through this, but you wasn't clear from the study whether or not, like, had they accounted for how rural areas would hold up against this, especially ones that had little contact with the outside world and planes and stuff going around.
And I saw you, you know, wonder out loud, you know, how exactly we would start.
Yes, like there was no mention of what the actual starting vector was, because that would affect things as well. I mean, for instance, if something was airborne, like, yeah, okay, everyone would be pretty fucked if it was like airborne, could transmit everybody food. I mean, this is like playing Plague Inc, because one of the upgrades to Plague Inc is basically you can have a zombie virus. It gets a bit more like. Like, a load of the symptoms and stuff are kind of like how zombie stuff tends to work in popular media. Some of the stuff, once you have basically armies, the undead raging around the earth, aren't quite the same. But, yeah, it's, normally, how does it normally take me to wipe anything out? It's usually more than 100 days for me, using zombieism and Plague Inc. as, like, my main disease thing going on.
Plague Inc., but, I have an idea, based on experience of last year, how a zombie outbreak would begin.
Okay.
Yeah, an election.
It begins with Donald Trump, doesn't it?
A referendum. I think, there would be a, you know, should we alive, or should we leave the continuum of, you know, living creatures and join the armies of the undead? and there would be a narrow majority of people who would vote Leave with terrible consequences.
This is getting really political.
I can go media satire for you. I go that basically it'll start in China, but due to the fact that the Chinese filmmaker market is such a big budget cash cow, they will not, in the film adaptation of this zombie apocalypse, allow it to start in China. This is a random World War Z reference.
Hmm. Okay. That's,
yeah, because didn't they have a North Korea bit in it?
Do not ask me when something that isn't supernatural is meant to be out.
I'm sorry, I forgot your, you know, specialty and non-specialty. Anything supernatural is your specialty.
I'm still kind of
anything
surprised.
Not supernatural is not your specialty.
I'm still kind of surprised that World War Z is getting a sequel, but, you know. I mean, it was okay.
A cat to an Oldsmobile.
Yeah.
They have to fight, you know, supernatural creatures while carrying colostomy bags.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly slung over the front bar of their Zimmer frames.
Yeah, so if that was an avenue.
Season 45 was supernatural.
Yeah, Supernatural got renewed to season 13. Meanwhile, in related news to that,
that's 12 and a half more than Firefly.
Yeah.
That's Fox's fault, ain't it? So,
yeah, I know. Yeah,
I'm not blaming Supernatural for that. I'm just saying it's a little bit unfair in the grand scheme.
Meanwhile, the family Ackles, their twins were born this past week. Jensen posted just before we started recording.
The Ackles family.
Jensen posted a family photo of Daniil, I can't remember their first kid's name, and the two twins that Daniil's just had. It's a very cute family photo to announce that the babies are here, sort of thing. So the reason why they keep going is because Crowley. between him, Jared, whose wife is also expecting a baby this year, and they'll end up with three as well. Yeah, they've got all these kids that they need to pay for college. So, yeah, it could go into the season 20 or something because they tried to make sure they've got enough money.
I'm about like season 30, it'll be Supernatural, The Next Generation.
Yeah, probably.
Well, they're bringing back Charmed, aren't they?
Well, yes, with a retro feel, apparently.
Yes. Set in the 70s or something, isn't it?
My main desire for that is that it isn't as cheesy as the original, which I know ages back I tried watching on Netflix. I got through like a couple of episodes, but it was hard going because it was like on the level of cheese. I tried to describe my cheese scale to Paul the other day. At the far end, you've got 60s Adam West Batman show.
Yeah.
And then after a bit, you kind of get to the Hercules TV series. Then it's Xena. And then Charmed kind of comes in just below the threshold of okay cheese. And then you get to Buffy and Angel. And then basically everything else is all past the fine okay levels of cheese. So Charmed's kind of on that cuspy threshold.
I am kind of jealous of a friend I have on Facebook/Twitter.
Oh?
Hmm.
Because she is watching Buffy for the first ever time. She missed it at the time, and she's binge-watching the whole thing.
Nice. Good on her.
And that would be quite cool.
Yep.
But, you know, I think something like Buffy lends itself to binge-watching.
Yes. Oh, definitely.
I have forewarned, saying that there were large chunks of Angel that I thought were shite.
No, I can agree with that. There are bits I don't like of Angel, but...
Yeah.
Connor!
Yeah.
Say what?
Connor.
Yeah, that got a bit...
What was that stupid decision Microsoft/Xbox have managed to make today?
Oh, they managed to cancel Scalebound, the only actual exclusive game to the platform that I was ever really, 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 really looking forward to. It was a new Platinum Games title. And they've canned it.
I mean, It's not as if Platinum Games are fan favourites or anything, and Microsoft badly need exclusives.
Yeah, of course not.
I mean, obviously, they try to get themselves exclusives by like buying like first-hand distribution rights for certain things, like that Tomb Raider sequel. But that didn't seem to work for them. So, yeah. A bit like that.
I think it's a tribute that developed and then launched in the 360 that they managed to, you know, garner as much goodwill as they did in the face of Sony being so dominant with the PlayStation.
Are you saying this game's a tribute, that it's not really, really a game, it's just a tribute?
Well, no, it's no, it.
You didn't get the reference. It's fine.
Yes,
I presume,
yeah.
It was a tenacious.
Yeah. Reference.
This is just a tribute. You've got to believe me. it's just, you know, from basically the 360 with Kinect onwards, it's what the hell are you doing, Microsoft?
No, I can agree with that assessment. And
yeah, and this is just I forgot about Skillbound. It's like, oh yeah, I remember them showing a trailer for that, and I remember absolutely hating the hero.
Yay.
Hating the hero. As it, wow, I hate him more than the usual male protagonist in the average Final Fantasy game. You know, kind of level of douche.
Crazy, isn't it?
But, yeah. And then they've cancelled that, and it's just, well, that's another reason for me not to give a shit about ever thinking about their platform. Let's hope Scorpio is...
I was going to say, they've actually been very positive about the sales of the Xbox S and that over the holiday period, haven't they?
Yeah.
Well, my nephew recently got one.
Well, an Xbox S?
And,
what do you think?
Well, no, just an original Xbone. Not an Xbone S, but yeah. He plays Minecraft on it, and that's about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I got another bit of news.
No.
From another area of entertainment entirely to what we've been discussing. Figures released this week showed that sales of physical books were up during the Christmas shopping period in comparison to the previous year.
Yes.
Book sales on the rise. I'm not entirely sure.
The other interesting thing was vinyl.
Yeah, vinyl's also up, but we don't talk about music on here normally, so I wasn't going
to... Yeah, I just thought I'd mix, sorry.
Ooh, the vinyl.
Say, with vinyl, I'll chip in on that.
Are you
I
buying
think
it all
it's
retro?
Because they're nice and collectible, and a few months back, on Radcliffe and McConey on Six Music,
yeah,
where they were talking to a few people who were vinyl collectors, and to them. The vinyl, they would get a code, to download the tracks on iTunes or whatever. Keep the vinyl as a, ooh, this is nice and collectible, isn't it? I can put it on my wall in a bag or, And they would just listen to their music on their iPods or is that available.
Rather than actually take advantage of
cool.
Changes in sound that actually listening on vinyl creates.
Yeah, so I think the whole vinyl sales are up. So, yeah, that's because it's a fashion thing.
Oh, I got another thing on the books book sales. Apparently, in the run up to Christmas, £83.3 million worth of print books was sold, but that was the highest physical book sales pre Christmas since 2007. So does that mean that we are at? But has it got back to pre-recession levels for print? Or has there been a renewed interest...
We must be due for another one, then.
Or has there been a renewed interest in physical print? I mean...
Probably because lots of people have been getting really pissed off with their e-book readers, and it's just, well,
Well, yeah, because anyone who's invested, because Kobo's pulled out of the UK market, and there was a whole palaver of that last year as they wound up their UK business, and they were like, oh, yeah, Sainsbury's is taking good stuff. Oh, no, Sainsbury's, I don't think Sainsbury's is now actually supporting any of the previous Kobo owners at all.
Really?
So that's
not a victory for the consumer.
Of course, if you're like me, you just end up with a whole load of books that are currently like sat on your shelf that you haven't read, and you continue to pursue books via your e-reader for some reason. I actually replaced my Kindle for Christmas. My Kindle with keyboard, it's that old, previously the first one, finally, after 6 years of long service, having been given to me in the Christmas of 2010, it finally was starting to really show its age with declining battery availability and this nasty habit of just completely resetting itself so that it had to rebuild its library each time.
Oh, that's always good.
Yeah. It's only a basic Kindle, which is fine because that's all they want, because I don't actually want the screen glowing at me, and I don't want to be able to like order books when I'm like in a field and the only signal I've got is from like some 3G thing for a phone, so it's fine. But
they've got Alexa for the random ordering of things, as I saw on a clip from American, I think it was yesterday.
Did you have the sense to unplug Alexa, Paul, before we started recording?
No, I thought, just in case we wanted to show...
Are you saying Alexa's on?
I think Alexa is on.
She's not doing anything.
Oh, you've got Alexa.
Am I coming over the speaker at the moment? Just
No, it's after dark again, is it?
It looks like it's turned off, Paul.
Alexa.
Oh, no. It's on.
Sir, buy a cool house.
Is there anything we should ask Alexa?
Alexa, buy a Blu-ray player.
Why don't you just get yourself a PS4 so you can join us in multiplayer gaming sessions, Retroid?
Console unwashed.
Okay, is there anything that we should ask her that isn't buying anything? Because I really don't like the idea of asking Alexa to buy stuff.
What was better, Doctor Who Christmas Special or Sherlock Holmes?
Alexa, stop! I don't know what I'm trying to do, but Alexa, stop!
Alexa, stop! Put down the knife, Alexa. Put down the knife, Alexa.
You can't see this, but every time you mention its name, it's like its little like blue LED thing at the top just kind of lights up, and it's like, somebody's talking about me!
It's almost like the electronic version of a meerkat going, what? Did somebody say something?
Exactly. Or the way like a dog's head will sort of like suddenly like kind of like tilt towards you in interest because you've just mentioned its name. I think you should turn that off before it does some kind of thing that copyright
infringes. Oh no, don't get rid of Alexa. Yeah.
What?
No.
Copyright.
If somebody starts playing it won't. How do you know? They might know.
The story I saw.
Then, it'll be incidental.
Alexa, turn the lights off in the living room.
Actually, our connected technology in our home is not that advanced. In fact, we had to change a fuse yesterday. Not a trip box, a fuse, because the old part of the house is still fuses. Yay! Okay, so Alexa's called.
Hang on, Alexa, play Daft Punk.
Uh-oh. It facing down! It doesn't think you asked for Daft Punk.
Alexa, stop. Alexa, stop. You can also say, Alexa, shut up, but that seems a bit rude.
There are actually people having to code and like write what happens when people are rude to AI and chatbots. It's a thing.
Was it? Well, with the Alexa, please don't hurt us.
Okay, so that's just.
But short story was that someone, because apparently, as just demonstrated, Alexa does not to who is speaking. It just pays attention to name and then, you know, giving it a command. In this sense, sorry, was the person saying Alexa, and then I'll put in a few more words just so it doesn't activate it. And apparently there were several. This was on local news, and they had calls in saying, "My Alexa has tried to do just that. Please don't do that again."
That's the thing. You'll never be able to watch something that actually turns around and says, "Alexa, buy such and such." Because then the amount of random sales that will kind of go through people's accounts on Amazon.
I mean, the thing is, we've known about this for years, because look at the whole Xbox presentation with the Xbox Go Home.
Yeah.
And it's just, there are people watching with their Kinects plugged in, and that's precisely what it did.
Yeah. Or, when they're playing Call of Duty.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, the Xbox just goes, oh, yeah, fine, I'll do that. And they're just screaming at the... What? It's like, yeah, don't do that, kids.
Yeah. Okay, I move us on to actually what people have been up to rather than news, because I think we've covered enough slightly hilarious, terrible things.
Hilarious, terrible things.
Yeah. There was a bit of terrible and then there was loads of hilarious. It's fine. Balanced-ish. Kinda. Maybe. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah.
Ish.
Ish. Who wants to say what they've been up to first?
I can, if you fancy.
Go, Retroid, go.
Go, Retroid, go!
So, well... Go, Retroid.
Retroid, I choose you.
Over Christmas, me and the wife decided to do something that we'd never tried before. And we weren't sure if we were going to enjoy it. But it turned out that, yes, we did. I was happier with the ending than she was, but... I am, of course, talking about watching the entire series of Harry Potter films.
Yay! Finally.
So now I get the jokes when someone says Patronus.
Wingardium Leviosa.
Voldemort. What a wanker.
Yep. Wizard Nazis.
Yeah, and good God, in the first film, none of them can act. But Jesus Christ.
But they do get better at acting.
They do. But I know there was a whole thing about Daniel Radcliffe, just, you know, there was being a big audition thing going on for, you know, finding the, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But the first one. I mean, seriously, you know, surely, come on, it's like, phew, I can't go to school, Mum, I've got, you know, I'm feeling sick. It's like, come on, you couldn't even manage that. he was just a poor show.
What did you think of the whole series as a whole, though?
I quite liked it. It was nicely imaginative. There were some interesting moments where you could tell it had got popular.
Yeah.
And J.K. Rowling was suddenly having to start with, you know, to deal with the press. It's like, oh, you've got a press, manipulative, snippy reporter featured in one of them. It's like, that'll be when it started to get an issue with, you know, for, you know, Mrs. Rowling. So it's like, okay, I can see that. And I liked how it went sort of very, in the original sense.
Yeah.
Storylines to, you know, a big overarching, oh, I see, there's a big bad mentioned there in the background. But, a lot of films more, but my wife where it was just more weird stuff and magics and, you know, things like that.
Yeah, I prefer the darker ones at the end.
Mm. thought.
What did you think about the turnaround for Snape?
Thought he was good all along, frankly.
Is that because
you... I'm sorry, spoilers there. Sorry, I should say spoilers. Snape wasn't a baddie. I haven't seen the film in the, you know, the last, was it 4 or 5 years old, that last one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a few friends who are big Harry Potter fans, and they, you know, they kept occasionally nudging me and saying, look, you know, you should really just...
Oh, you definitely.
Know, you know, read the books, because, you know, that's more of a time sink. But, you know, the films are...
than, I have to say, though, the books are better.
Yeah.
As normal.
I can well leave it, but I'm happier, you know. And, yeah, I get it a bit more now. You know, there's so much...
Cool.
You just pick up, you know, cultural Osborne.
Yay. Welcome to the club.
When you're watching this, you know, we reference.
But you're kind of breaking up.
Lots of sketchy. How am I now?
Now that you've stopped speaking, you're fine. I didn't mean to sound rude.
Oh, I heard that one. I heard that all right, yeah.
Honestly. Yeah, I'm glad I watched them now, and yeah, I get the references more. For let's see, other things. Season 2 of Ash versus Evil Dead.
Oh, right, cool.
You know, we were still really enjoying that, so we're looking forward to a third season. It's worth it, and you get even more cameos from the original Evil Dead.
Yep.
But Lee Mage is in season 2.
Is he?
Lee Majors, the fall guy.
The fall guy, yeah. Lee Major, yeah. Hey, I didn't realise that.
Mage, obviously, but yeah. A good series, and it gets away with a lot. And of course, it's got some kick-ass ladies.
Cool.
Good, good.
Because, it's got Lucy Lawless in, with referencing Xena.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And she kicks up the, you know, co-star Kelly, who I can't remember the actress's name. She's, you know, she gets herself in, you know, situations and pretty much, you know, never at any point just becomes the, you know, damsel in distress. She's usually kicking ass, or as everyone else in the group, out in the, you know, the lazy trope way. So,
sweet.
You know, that's also, so, yeah, I would recommend, if anyone, you know, can get to see it one way or another, on Amazon Prime, but...
Are they?
Yeah, there are.
Are they free on Amazon Prime?
Is season 1 free on Amazon Prime?
I think it's included, because I kept seeing, whenever I was looking up episodes, really irritating way that... instead of having the original air date for the thing I'm looking up,
yeah,
it will have the available on Amazon Prime from this date. It's like, I don't care. I'm looking up when it was originally broadcast. But yeah, so we watched that, and that's good. So also thumbs up with through The Man in the High Castle, with the ludicrous idea of Nazis somehow ruling the United States.
I've noticed that that kind of thing has been happening more and more recently, like with, you know, Nazism kind of being, you know, in the media spotlight type thing. I wonder why.
Well, yeah, it's just going to get worse after the inauguration, isn't it?
Yeah.
The last thing I am going to bring up, as in the, I have been playing more with my Orange Pi Zero.
That's not cool.
The quad core or single or small board computer, I think. Call it. China. It's a quad core 1.0 can run Android, but and has a port of RetroPie to it that the Raspberry Pi has, and I mean, one of the things which attracted me to the idea of the Zero is that, just like Zero, they've chosen to call it Zero because of the Raspberry Pi Zero. Low cost. Theoretically, it's about £7 for a, the machine. You have to add on a postage charge from China because you... One of the only official ways to buy it is directly from the company on AliExpress.
Oh, wow.
But it's a slightly new board. People have been working on how to get things working on it. I got video out working, but it was washed out. And for the first time with electronics, I pissed about with resistors.
Very right.
Long story short, I thought, well, if the if the picture's too washed out, which of course is a problem when it's washing out the sort of mid-grey text that's on the screen against the white background, I couldn't see the difference. That that's an issue. I just thought I'll put a potentiometer in the Orange Pi Zero and my TV set. While I said I was going to do that, I had a few people say, well, pretty much that's how it works. If a if a a picture signal is too washed out, it's too bright in there of like 75 ohms, lower it. And I thought, oh well, cool, I'm on I'm on the right path. I know that's so. I did the potentiometer anyway. But basically, a potentiometer. Think of if you've ever used a volume dial. Variable resistor that you just alter like that. So that that's precisely what I did. I fiddled about with it, measured the value with a multimeter I've got, and said, yep, that's the value. Got some resistors out that big pile and added a few together, about 75 ohms, which was the value. So my the advice I was given was right. And lo and behold, I've got a proper picture now. Quite a capable little machine. It's, like I said, about £10 delivered, this little thing.
Yeah.
And I've been playing Rez.
Cool.
As in Dreamcast Rez. A radio, again, from Dreamcast. So it's quite a powerful little machine. And
nice.
In with other things, because the company that makes the for part of the the machine is called Shunzi, and the reading, as in, I think it was just yesterday that a bunch of hackers have worked out how to add your own games to the NES Mini.
Ah, yeah.
Yes.
I vaguely read that article. No, I did read that article. I did vaguely read it.
Because it's basically, like I said, it's an ARM system on a chip.
Yeah.
ROMs. And it runs an emulator, and it's got a decent front end. One of the things I noticed when I was reading the story was that one of the steps to get... Basically, you have to download the ROMs that are on it, put in the ones you want, and then... NES Mini. Mentioned Shunzi as a vendor, which is, what it's talking to, some of the hardware. So that the NES Mini hardware, if I, as an end user, can buy something like the Orange Pi, say Orange Pi PC, Orange Pi Zero. I won't go into the differences, but blah, 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 blah. You're talking a price range of about £10 to £15.
Yeah.
One, including postage. Nintendo is going to be getting them a lot cheaper than that. But it's also very capable hardware, so I wouldn't be surprised if they decide that with the same hardware, release a, you know, Super Nintendo Mini or something like
that. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think a lot of people would be very happy with the Super Nintendo Mini.
Very, very happy indeed.
So, right. That's pretty much what I've been doing, apart from eating far too many cakes and regretting it.
Okay. Cookie, do you want to tell us what you've been up to?
So me, I have been quite happily playing Dishonored 2. Spoil, because I know other people are in to play it. But very good game. Very nice. Got the stealth.
Does it... reveal trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reveal trailer was, you know, was the, well, and does it live up to the reveal trailer that they, you know, released?
I think so far, yeah. With what I've played so far.
Because I thought the reveal trailer looked very nice, but I did wonder how many of the aspects, like the transforming robots and, you know, bits of building would make it into the game.
Across any transforming robots, but there are definitely mechanized soldiers. That's all I will say. So I've been playing that. I've been playing Battlefield 1 as well, which is very short on the things, but for multiplayer, good. Very action orientated, very team spirited. Yeah, afterwards, else you ain't going to get nowhere.
Yeah.
Good. Also been... So we have become addicted to a sitcom called Goldbergs.
Oh, yeah, because E4 had them, don't they?
I've caught, I think, an episode.
Which is quite amusing.
I had insomnia one morning and it was just, you know, flicking around. And it was like, oh, right, this is kind of like the modern Wonder Years.
Yes, it's set in the 80s. Our generation, Metroid. And it's very funny, very good. And sorry for saying this, Mum and Dad, but it reminds me of my family. Totally. Which is scary. In fact, I can remember doing some of the things they do on there. I'm thinking, oh God, here we go. So that's quite cool. What else? We have also been watching Sherlock, which I've been really enjoying, and that's about it at the moment, apart from binging on lots and lots of chocolate, which I have not regretted in one slight.
I'm saying nothing other than before Christmas I had to wear a belt.
I'm just a chunky monkey anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
When you said binging, and you kind of paused for a moment, I was expecting like a Netflix series or something.
No. Oh, I'll tell you what I did watch, though. I watched the Christmas...
Sorry?
Oh, yes, so did we. Yes.
Which was brilliant, and I cannot wait until the new series is out in May.
Sorry, can you repeat
that? I will say I agree with you that it was brilliant, other than one proviso.
What's that?
And the Wachowskis, can someone take the Wachowskis to one side and say, yes, you like depicting orgies?
Yeah, there were a few orgies in there, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I was getting...
Sorry, spoilers.
I was getting flashbacks to the rave scene from The Matrix Reloaded.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, just step back. Objection to it being there. But it's just, I'm getting flashbacks to The Matrix Reloaded, and that's not a good thing.
To be fair, though, I mean, considering the connection that all of the characters have in Sensei, it kind of makes sense that there would be some sort of kind of...
It made sense, which is why I didn't object to it, you know, being there in that.
Yeah.
It's just, it brought back uncomfortable memories of watching Matrix Reloaded, which... Is it?
Mm.
It's still too soon.
Still too soon?
Yeah, it's still too soon.
Oh, gosh. So, yeah, that's pretty much my...
Okay.
Okay, so what have I been up to? So I bought a new Kindle. That was the thing that happened. Been watching Supernatural Season 12 started in the UK last week on E4. It's interesting now. We've basically got 2 hours of shows created by Eric Kripke, who is the creator of Supernatural. You got Timeless, which we've also been watching. I think I've been enjoying it, though it's kind of been hiding plot points a little bit. Like, you know, there's an ulterior motive going on, and we're a fair few episodes in now, but we still don't really know quite why everything's happening. It's like that there's like very personal reasons given, but it just doesn't seem enough.
I think with a lot of time travel stuff is that it needs to basically sort out its rules of time travel. And in this case, because it is literally basically one guy goes back in time and, you know, messes all sorts of stuff out, and these other people travel back in time to try and stop him, why haven't they thought about stuff going back to before he travels in time and stop him then?
Yeah.
That is one of the primary things of a time travel thing. It's just, you stop them traveling in the first place, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apart from if, say, you're Doctor Who, and then you can just say...
Well, Doctor Who has a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away type thing going on for it, so...
But...
Have we lost people? Have they slipped through the cracks of time?
Bim.
Yes, no.
Bim.
Are you here?
Bim.
So, Secret Time.
Oh, and also Frequency, which is another time travel one, which is headed by, was it Carver?
That's two Supernatural people doing a series about time travel to an extent at the moment. Also managed to, its Frequency's in trouble at the moment. It didn't get renewed with everything else, it was along with one other show this past week. Basically, it has until May, I think, to prove itself. If it doesn't, then it's not coming back. So that's the thing that's happening. Over Christmas, a certain someone gave me Supernatural Trivial Pursuit. There may have been a case where we played how many rounds? Is it three rounds?
About three or four.
Three or four rounds of it at a friend's house with the only friends that live locally who had a chance of answering the questions, basically. Because it comes up to the end of season 11. That was fun. I won each round. It was terrible. The only category that I struggled with was there's a locations category, where it's generally sort of locations, but it's like time, you know, places and times that stuff happened. That I did struggle a bit with because I don't know where everything takes place generally. I mean, they hop all over the country. The places it's least likely to be is basically somewhere on the West Coast and somewhere on the East Coast. Everything in between is fair game, basically. It's pretty much it. They only went to California like the first two seasons, and they've never really been on the East Coast.
They've never been on the East Coast, but they have been to Hollywood a couple of times.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They've been to California. And don't forget that, obviously, they started out in California because Sam was at Stanford in season one. So, yeah.
Anyway, then so his girlfriend was set on fire, and that upset him a bit.
Upset him a bit, yeah. He was a bit perturbed by that.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, is that... Oh, how vexing.
But conversely, so yes, if Patient Supernatural Pursuit, and basically all you've got for that is, like, a card pack, obviously, like, you know, questions on one side, answers never, and, like, a dice that decides categories, and basically if you answer a question correctly, then you get to hold on to that card, and then whoever gets to see the cards first wins. It's pretty simple. It hasn't got a board or anything.
Cool.
Conversely, we played a 1988 edition of Trivial Pursuit.
Cool.
On New Year's Eve, the game lasted more than 3 hours. It started in 2016 and finished in 2017 by a significant margin.
I'm pretty sure that a lot of people would say that all games of Trivial Pursuit...
They can take a while.
But we had to play with the kids' questions because the adult questions, at least for anything that basically sort of neared pop culture or politics post-war, you know, history post-war, it was just too... And the kids' questions were hard, as it was, because it's just a whole load of cultural stuff that you just don't know because it was written for an audience that was around and thinking and talking in 1988. So,
You know, we're going to mention something cutting edge now.
Yeah.
Amstrad CPC 464.
Like, this edition of the game was printed when the Cold War was still going on. I mean, yeah, sure, we might end up with similar situations soon, but again, but, you know, there's still, you know, there's right. countries mentioned that don't exist anymore. So, you know, fun things like that. I also managed to win that, thus that's 3 times that I've won regular Trivial Pursuit over the years. Paul continues Sweet. To be annoyed by this, I'm sure, on some level. Or do you just think I've got too much useless knowledge in my head?
Lex, it's a bit of a weird one, because like any kind of quiz, you know all the answers to the questions that you are not given, but you don't know any of the answers to the questions that you are given.
Yeah.
And it's kind of frustrating, because it makes you feel stupider than you actually are.
Yeah.
Couple also, that with the fact that you absolutely love seeing me lose at games.
Yeah, but that's only when we're playing something like Catan. No, with or Monopoly or Mario.
Or any game.
I don't mind you winning at Mario Kart.
You don't mind me winning?
Yeah.
Oh, so I've got a game I can play.
We also played copious amounts of Catan, and that went basically. We played with like the recommended setup for the first time because we had people who hadn't played before, and that went reasonably well. And then later on, we played a random setup, you know, where we shuffled everything and then like laid it down as it came. That ended up with some interesting placements of both resources and number tiles, and generally hell-breakingly feels like the best way to summarize how those games were.
Could you imagine like a supernatural version of Catan?
I don't.
Maybe not like a supernatural as in like the TV series Supernatural, but like a, you know, one where it's like, you know,
vampires,
which is a supernatural version of. But die quite quickly.
I don't think I want to imagine that actually cool. I think I've got a limit there.
Anyway, it'd be kind of cool.
You've got a limit on supernatural stuff?
To an extent. It's very narrow.
You kind of cross Catan with, what was it, the house on Haunted Hill? Or, no, that haunted house one.
Is it? Oh, I know the one you mean that we've got. We played it, friends. Yeah.
Better code.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Also, what else happened over Christmas? We ended up rewatching seasons 1 and 2 of Rick and Morty.
Yes, lots and lots of Rick and Morty. We've actually managed to get somebody addicted to Rick and Morty.
I mean, technically, it was a rewatch for us. Like we.
Oh yeah, it's probably my 5th rewatch in the space of like a year and a half.
It's just, you know, dub, man. Just
We're still waiting on season 3.
hopefully that will drop this year. That'll make 2017 tolerable.
It better drop.
What else did we get up to? Oh, we did manage to rewatch Die Hard over Christmas, of course. That was an enjoyable excursion into a Christmas film. In fact, perhaps the only Christmas film that I watched all the way through. So, you know.
Over Christmas, with you saying about, Christmas, films and such. I watched any Christmas TV apart from one thing, which Cookie will know about, but we'll get to that, I'm sure.
We did. It was randomly on TV the one day, but I think it was Jingle All the Way. And didn't we discuss how basically every character is just kind of like
diabolical?
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't start at the beginning. We started about halfway through the film and we just left it on the background. And then it turned into a discussion around our friends about, like, man, like, none of the characters in this film are redeemable. Even the kid. It's just, like, they're all selfish, idiotic assholes that have completely lost the idea of what Christmas or any pagan festival for that time of year should be about.
Yeah.
You know, it was
crazy.
And just the dubiousness of, like, all of the characters' actions. I mean, it's meant to be kind of a fun comedy and whatnot, but it's like, you're kind of rooting for none of these characters.
Yeah,
here.
Like, actually, no, you none of you get a doll. That would be a better outcome for this film. And we also did see the Doctor Who Christmas special, of which I fell asleep about 3 times through. I think Paul managed to get all the way through it.
Yeah, and I was like,
I wish I'd fucking fallen asleep.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to, seeing the new mixture of characters in the forthcoming series, but this Christmas special kind of just didn't really do anything for me. It felt too much like it was trying to copy, like, what's happening with Marvel and DC at the moment.
Yeah. I can't think of a new assessment, literally fell asleep. I mean, I think that was probably, like, a preferable outcome.
Well, let's be fair, if I'm actually agreeing with you how shit it was, and it's Doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's got to be saying something, isn't it?
Well, it was still better than Agent Gollum Doctor.
No.
I don't know which Doctor
Doctor. No, it was definitely still better than that, because at least it flowed more crystal than it might. At least the explanation made sense. In other words, it was better than some other Christmas special, or the stupid liposuction aliens.
Oh, that one, yeah.
It's fine when you have to be reminded how shit some of the past episodes are.
Yeah.
Moving on.
I can't deny that. I can't defend that. It's, yeah, okay, fine. Move on.
I'm going home.
We also have seen the last 2 episodes of Sherlock, which we won't go into in detail. I don't know. It's just kind of become routine to watch it now.
I
really enjoyed it. Can I just ask one thing, though?
Yeah, sure.
Anybody listening?
Sorry?
If you do leave us with a cliffhanger like you did last time, next week, I know how long it will be before you can actually get the actors together again. I'm not waiting 4 to 5 years. That's all I will say on the subject.
Fuck, it turns out to be Doctor Strange.
Well, don't forget that Martin Freeman was in Winter Soldier as well.
Yes, and he's in his role in Infinity War.
And Martin Freeman will still be that bloke from The Office. He's in Forevermore.
Aye.
I'll tell you one thing that didn't happen this Christmas. I didn't play any video games, but like that were kind of like just my own thing to do. And the only video game I did play during the entire period was we played some Rock Band 4 around the same friends with cool. Rick and Morty and stuff. That was a long session where afterwards I was wondering if I was going to lose my voice afterwards because I was the only one on vocals. Apparently my singing's tolerable, they kept telling me. I kept trying to, you know, because I would have stopped if I was killing them with my singing.
But I didn't notice blood pouring out of our ears, so I'm sure it's fine.
Okay. But again, as I've said on previous episodes when I've talked about Rob Band 4, it is pretty obvious that the proxies for the vocals, they really didn't test it with a wide enough vocal range. Like the songs that are like easy for somebody who's got a male voice to sing are like rated as easy, but if it's like more of a feminine voice and it's a bit higher, oh, that's rated as like, that's hard. And it's just like, well, no, because if you have a female voice, that's not so bad. So I really do wish they'd basically introduced slightly either pitch or genderized ratings for song difficulty, because like, regardless of gender, you can be pretty good at like
the power of the drums. There are women with lower voices, and there are men with higher voices.
Yeah,
as well.
But they needed to. Yeah. Tested it with a range of voices and had two difficulty settings, or two ranges of difficulty settings for vocals.
You have to do is say you've got a low range or a high range, and then you know select that, and you know all the stuff that would be high range, you know, would suddenly be easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I mean, you know, there's a reason why, like, for example, you know, a lot of songs, you know, whenever you have it performed at, like, you know, say a tribute thing or, you know, a music industry, you know, thing or something like that, they tend to have female vocalists, you know, for Freddie Mercury's part.
True.
They had a high range. So, it just. Yeah, just the range bit would be an obvious thing to do.
But sadly, in this generation of console, and despite how many music games have been made now, this does not seem to happen. I think that's everything I've been to. Oh, no. I need to mention The Good Witch. I ended up needing something just on in the background whilst I was doing like present wrapping and stuff. Went on Netflix, and it's a Hallmark TV channel series.
No.
It's just like, yeah, like...
No.
It's
got that woman from Jack in it, hasn't it?
I don't know. It's just kind of like... It's soppy, basically.
The Waltons.
It's soppier than Waltons. And it's just kind of like...
Okay. Soppier than the Waltons, that'd be Little House on the Prairie.
Soppier than the House on the Prairie.
Do not watch it.
I
hated the Waltons and detested Little House on the Prairie, so the
you know what? I loved how Little House on the Prairie ended. That was the best ending for a TV show ever.
I've never even
They blow up the town.
Cool.
Basically a bunch of like,
and they were talking to
a bunch of developers or whatever wanted the town for whatever or something, and it's years since I've seen this, and the townspeople blow up the town to stop them from getting hold of everything.
See, you know what would be really devastating is for you to actually watch the end of it and realise that ending that you dreamt up was literally a dream, and that it did kind of carry on as normal.
No, I'm pretty sure that's how it ended. I've got to Google that now. You're making me mistrust my memory, you bugger.
I think what, you know, my chosen ending for Little House on the Prairie would be a little bit, you know, like, if, you know, if one of the kids grows up and says, you know, right, that's it, I'm not having anything whatsoever to do with this shitty farm you've got. Wankers that, you know, that are on here. And they walk out and they encounter a freeway and in future, rockets.
End on that bombshell. So,
and it would probably be made by M. Night Shyamalan.
Okay. So no, I was right. In the season finale, the town of Walnut Grove is revealed to have been built on land owned by a railroad tycoon. The citizens decide to basically blow up the town rather than letting him still have access to some of the resources that he essentially had there. And then everyone leaves.
Is this an example of the production crew decided to say, right, fuck you, we're blowing everything up?
Blow up all the sets, everything, boom, perhaps.
Awesome. Oh, we're cancelling you, but you know, we're going to be setting, you know, restrooms on this, you know, or whatever. And they've said, no.
Yeah, I never thought actually we'd end up discussing Little House on the Prairie on an episode of the show.
No, let's move on. Fucking hell.
Okay, so of all the things I've discussed, is there anything that you've experienced, Paul, that I've not?
That you've not? Well, yeah. I think you've forgotten a couple of things.
Oh, God, like?
Like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, we had some Crazy Ex-Girlfriend on, because well, that came back from hiatus, didn't it? Or did we just have a few episodes backed up?
No, I think it did come back from hiatus.
That was interesting to get back to with relationships going in unexpected directions.
But it's one of those... I'm not entirely sure whether it should be kind of classed as a movement, but basically it's about a professional woman who seeks... her, you know, kind of childhood crush, and basically goes across the country to basically live in the same town and kind of get in his life, as it were.
Oh.
And okay. It is actually quite fun and funny. There is like musical interludes and whatnot, which they are. I think what. Glee was meant to be in terms of kind of it's meant to be mocking the genre.
Yeah.
So you know, and you can kind of see that, you know, it is definitely mocking, you know, the musical interludes with all sorts of different things. I mean, I think in the first episode, it was basically one rapper in like one of these musical interludes, kind of suddenly realizes how he's been treated, women. Has been like quite appalling, so he, at the end of the credits he kind of goes on to apologize to all of his bitches, as it were, which is kind of, you know, obviously, you know, undermining blah 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 whatnot. I'm rambling.
Yeah. And what else is there, anything else in the physics building? We've already mentioned Frequency.
Yeah, already mentioned that. I know, what is it? Once Upon a Time's coming back later, I think probably around February or March, I think. Maybe late February. But, yeah, I think you've kind of said most of the ones.
Right. Well, is that everything, gentlemen? Is that...
Yeah. That is, yeah. I'm still trying to get my head around fucking up Mars and Prairie, blowing every fucker up.
It was just the buildings, not the people. The people went and stood on the side of a hill whilst somebody set off a whole load of dynamite.
That's still blowing my mind, the fact that they prepared to do that. To be honest,
I have this image of them kind of with the plunger in hand going, night, Jim Bob.
That's the Waltons.
That's how much I know about Little House on the Prairie.
That was the greatest crossover ever. Little House on the Prairie versus the Waltons.
That's set in different time periods.
But you did say they were on the other side of a mountain as they blew up.
That's why they're blowing him up. Because he has knowledge of the future. And, you know.
Right, I think that's it now.
Paul, I'm sure there's fanfic out there where the two cross paths. I'm sure somewhere.
No, that's your home. No. That's your task for the week, Emily.
I do not know the fanfic outside of the fandom. Unless it's crossover. Okay, well, that is all we've got time for this week. So it is good night from...
It's good night from me, Jim Bob. Wood, I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter.
It's good night from me, Paul, aka One_Cookie on Twitter.
It's good night from me, Paul Blurt. I'm on Twitter as at Paul Blurt.
And it's good night from me, Emily King. I'm on Twitter at EK6891. You can find Nerd Assemble over at www.nerdassemble.co.uk. You can also find us on Twitter at Nerds Podcast. We're on Facebook and Google Plus as Nerds Assemble Podcast. This episode is also available on Stitcher and iTunes. Do not try emailing us at the moment because something's gone wonky with that. And in fact, if you've ever tried emailing us before, since this show has been going in 2014, oh, actually, it's been going longer than that. Basically, I discovered that maybe we've never had emails really coming through. It's great.
Even though, haven't we tested it before?
We have tested it before, but I tried testing it last week, even with the webmail versions, it's all gone to shit, and I'm trying to contact our supplier for it, and it's just like, they're just being a dick, not replying to my support requests, so...
And apologies for the call quality on this episode. Obviously, out of our hands on the current setup.
But yeah, good night.
Good night.
Night, cowboy.
Kaboom!